drama with our Facebook stream crashing and having to resend it. All right. Good morning. I'm Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church. It is good to be with you on this Monday morning, November 9th, and we are marching toward the end of 2020, down to the last couple of months. Thanksgiving is not far away. There seems to be this extra desire to want to be in the Christmas spirit this year because of all we've been through, and people wanting to just go ahead and put up your Christmas tree and put up your Christmas decorations and listen to Christmas music and watch your Hallmark Christmas movies. Oh, you know you do. But this year, we need more than ever to make sure we do give thanks. That we give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. He's good even in 2020. He's good even in the midst of COVID and economic crisis and altered lifestyle and a very divided political atmosphere with angry people. God is good. And that's not a trite thing that we say. It is the truth. God is good, and He is sovereign, and He is almighty on behalf of His people. So this year, of all years, don't rush past Thanksgiving. I love Christmas. I'm a big Christmas guy. But don't rush past Thanksgiving. Make sure we truly give thanks. And don't just take it as, you know, Turkey Day with lots of football. But give thanks to the Lord. Let this be a season of thanksgiving for us. Anyway, our psalm this morning is Psalm 114, which will focus on the great power of God for the salvation of His people. Let's pray, and then we'll dig into this short and powerful psalm. Father in heaven, thank You for this day that You've given to us. Thank You for waking us up this morning, giving us another day of life. Thank You for calling us to be Your children. Thank You for the power that You have exercised to save us. And Father, we pray that You'd bless us as we look at Psalm 114 this morning. We pray that You'd speak to our hearts and write this word on our hearts that we might treasure the greatness of our God and Father. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Psalm 114. When Israel went out from Egypt, the house of Jacob, from a people of strange language, Judah became his sanctuary, Israel his dominion. The sea looked and fled. Jordan turned back. The mountains skipped like rams, the hills like lambs. What ails you, O sea, that you flee? O Jordan, that you turn back? O mountains, that you skip like rams? O hills, like lambs? Tremble, O earth, at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob, who turns the rock into a pool of water, the flint into a spring of water. That is Psalm 114. I'm going to get Yahweh's name in here properly. So, it's the power of God. What is Psalm 114 talking about? Well, it is one of these great psalms that celebrates the redemption of God's people at the hand of the Lord, which happens in the Exodus and then especially in the coming into the Promised Land. So in the Old Testament, that is the great salvation event. That is the great salvation event to look back on, is the bringing out of God's people from Egypt and then the settling of God's people in the Promised Land. And that's exactly what Psalm 114 focuses on. When Israel went out from Egypt, the house of Jacob, from a people of strange language, Judah became his sanctuary, Israel his dominion. How is it that the people of God could just cross the Jordan River and take over the land of Judah and Israel? How is it that they were able? They were a nomadic people who had been enslaved for the previous generation. They had actually wandered the wilderness in the desert for 40 years. How is it that they can just stroll across the Jordan River and subdue a land for themselves? Well, of course, the answer in Psalm 114 is They didn't, right? They did not just stroll across the Jordan River. They did not just subdue a people for themselves or subdue a land for themselves. It was God's work. So how did Judah become his sanctuary? How did Israel become his dominion? It's because the sea, that's the Red Sea, looked and fled. The sea looked and fled. The Jordan turned back. So we had two miraculous crossings coming out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, and then going into the promised land. And both involve miraculous crossings with miraculous power. For us as believers today, we look back on being brought out of sin and the dominion of death and darkness. And we look ahead to entering into the promised land, crossing the Jordan River and entering into our fair and heavenly home. But we won't have to fight when we cross our Jordan River, as Israel did. We will be entering into the glory of the Lord, and we will be entering into the promised rest that is ours, the true land of rest, the true promised land. So there is a coming out and there is a going in. And at both places, there was miraculous deliverance, miraculous parting of the waters. And then the mountains skipped like rams, the hills like lambs. And you might think, well, when did that happen during the Exodus? Well, this is, of course, poetic image. But mountains and hills are often used in the Bible as images for the great powers of the earth. Very often you would have temples, altars, sanctuaries, worship places to the gods on the tops of mountains and hills. And so the mountain became associated with that particular deity, that particular local god, and the people who were under the dominion of that local god. And so you'd have a city sometimes on the hilltop, or sometimes just a high place. Remember the references throughout the Old Testament to the high places that were built throughout Israel and Judah. And so the mountains skip like rams and the hills like lambs is the fact that the gods of the Canaanites are driven away, and the rulers who sort of rule under those gods over their tribes, they fled away. And probably the most powerful image of this is Jericho, of course. Jericho isn't exactly a mountain, it's actually a valley city, but it would have had a hilltop that had been built up, right? It would have had this hilltop that was built up, and then the city on top of that hill. And as Israel marched around and they shouted unto the Lord brought the walls of Jericho down. But over and over again, as God led his people into battle against the gods of the land were defeated and turned back. So here we're looking at the two bodies of water, the Red Sea and the Jordan. And then I believe we're looking at the powers within the land of Canaan, the false gods and the tribal kings. They all had to turn back. And why? It's because of the presence of the Lord. It's because of the presence of the Lord, the presence of the God of Jacob. And then there's a reminder here of God's provision for his people. He turns the rock into a pool of water, the flint into a spring of water. Remember when they were in that desert wilderness and there seemed to be no water, God took even the rock, the hard, solid, dry rock, and by the power of his word, it became a pool of water. Now, how does this apply to us? Well, we already talked about the fact that God has brought us out of the land of bondage. Our pre-salvation condition, our natural fallen condition, is our Egypt. That is our house of slavery. Jesus says that everyone who sins is a slave to sin. And so we serve a harsh and cruel taskmaster. What's the pay scale of our master sin? Well, Romans tells us the wages of sin is death. So we were serving the harsh and cruel taskmaster of sin, and we were earning the wages of death. But God brought us out. God brought us out of that land of darkness, out of that land of slavery, out of that land of deception. And now he's bringing us into the promised land. But there are enemies. There are powers that stand in the way. This world is still under the deceptive power of Satan. And the enemy of our souls does not stop harassing us. And our own flesh sometimes longs for Egypt. Remember the Israelites in the wilderness. Oh, that we could go back to Egypt. We had leeks and we had onions and we could get fish right out of the river. And oh, what better food we had. And all we have here is this manna, this divinely provided heavenly food. That's all we have, right? And sometimes our flesh, our sinful nature craves the sin that God's delivered us from, craves the lifestyle that God's brought us out of, and says, oh, wasn't that more fun when I could just do whatever I wanted to do and didn't have to think about, you know, the hard things. I was talking to a young man last night who's a fairly recent convert to Christ. He's come to know the Lord last year and a half or so. And he said it's hard. In some ways, it's harder to be a Christian than it was to be a young adult non-believer, because he could just do whatever he wanted to do and didn't have to think about it. And now he wants to honor the Lord with his life. And that's hard because your flesh rages against you and the world deceives you, right? And Satan harasses you. But these are just like the mountains and the hills. Before the presence of the Lord, they skip like rams and like lambs. They flee. They flee. And through our wilderness wanderings, as God is bringing us into the promised land, he provides for us. And this rock that turns into a pool of water is an image of Christ. We know that 1 Corinthians 10 tells us of the wilderness wanderings that the rock that followed them was Christ. It was a picture of Christ. Christ is the rock of our salvation. He's the rock on which we stand. And when he was pierced, when he was struck by the wrath of God on the cross, he poured forth living water, the Holy Spirit, who comes to refresh our souls and renew us as we go through our wilderness journey. But it is the power of God, it is the power of the presence of God with his people that is our hope and that is our strength as we journey through this life. And that's what Psalm 114 reminds us of. I want to jump really quick to the minor prophet. We say minor because his book is shorter. The minor prophet of Nahum. Not a book that you read super frequently, I'm sure, but Nahum chapter 1 has just beautiful language about the power of the Lord. And for me, it's a reminder of the goodness of God, of his powerful presence with us, and of his second coming. Because when Jesus leads us into our eternal promised land, the new heavens and the new earth, it will come when he comes again. So let's look at Nahum chapter 1 as we close this morning. The Lord is a jealous and avenging God. The Lord is avenging and wrathful. The Lord takes vengeance on his adversaries and keeps wrath for his enemies. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power, and the Lord will by no means clear the guilty. That's all language from Exodus 34 when God revealed himself to Moses. This is who God is. His way is in the whirlwind and storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. He rebukes the sea and makes it dry. He dries up all the rivers. Bashan and Carmel wither. The bloom of Lebanon withers. The mountains quake before him. The hills melt. The earth heaves before him, the world and all who dwell in it. Do you see all that language that's parallel to Psalm 114? Who can stand before his indignation? Who can endure the heat of his anger? His wrath is poured out like fire, and the rocks are broken into pieces by him. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. He knows those who take refuge in him, but with an overflowing flood, he will make a complete end of the adversaries and will pursue his enemies into darkness. To me, this is Nahum 1 completes the thought of Psalm 114 by having my heart look forward to that day when the Lord Jesus will come again. And oh boy, when he comes again, I hope that you will be waiting for him, longing to see him, and will be found worshiping him. Because who can stand before his indignation? Who can endure the heat of his anger? You do not want to be an enemy of Christ on that day. It may be hard to be a Christian in this life, but on that day it will be so glorious and so worth it. And we will know that all the trials we've been through, God has been faithful, and it's all been so, so worth it. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence with us and your power for us. We thank you that you've brought us out of the house of bondage, out of the land of slavery, and you've brought us into a loving, living relationship with you. And you give us the living water, your Holy Spirit, which your Son, the Lord Jesus, the rock of our salvation, purchased for us, even at the cost of his own life, as he was broken and spilled out on the cross. He poured out his Holy Spirit to us who belong to him by faith. And now we trust you. Help us to trust you more. We are surrounded by enemies. There are great powers in this world. Our own flesh rages against you. So we trust you. We look to you because the power of your presence is greater than all of our enemies. But Father, help us to trust you more. Help us to trust you more. And to look forward to that day when the Lord Jesus will come again and will make a final end to all of these enemies. Our flesh will be destroyed. The deceptive powers of this world will be destroyed. Satan and his minions will be destroyed forever in the lake of fire. And Jesus will reign forevermore as he brings us into the promised land where there is no more shadow, no more night, no more tears, no more crying. Oh, how we long for that day. Be our faithful shepherd, our God and our guide. Until that day, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 It is so good to be reminded of truth from God's word. And so I thank you for joining me this morning. Looking forward to Wednesday morning as we look at Psalm 115. Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name be glory. It's a great psalm against idolatry. And we're going to look at that on Wednesday morning together, Lord willing. Hope you're able to join us then Wednesday morning at 8:30 on these same places, YouTube and Facebook. Have a blessed day in the Lord.